following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
I found myself in a unique situation last winter of deciding if it was time to pursue my dream of playing in the NFL.
Option play near side. Pitch back to Amir. He gets a nice shield block on the edge. Amir to the 40, 35, first down, 30. Amir cutting back to the middle field. 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Amir dives. Touchdown, Nebraska. What a spectacular run by Amir Abdullah.
I've come to realize that life is bigger than football and that my chances of long-term success in life will be greatly enhanced by completing my college education.
Sails toward the goal line. Abdullah grabs it right at the goal line. Amir to the 10, 15, 20. He's got a seam. 25. Cuts to the outside. Oh, what a move. 40-yard line to midfield. He is gone. Amir Abdullah.
It's truly an honor to play for this program, to represent the N, and to one day walk across that stage with my diploma in hand.
Just a four-man rush. Armstrong to the sideline. Here he comes, Abdullah.
Wow.
And Abdullah still on his feet. Western Kent throws a block. Amir Abdullah all the way home. Touchdown, Nebraska.
I'm Amir Abdullah, and I play for Nebraska.
Trips to the near side. Kellogg gets a shotgun snap. Final play of the game. Ron waiting for the wideouts to get downfield. Launches the throw down toward the goal line. Going up. Ball tipped in the air. Caught. Touchdown. Jordan Westerkamp. Nebraska wins the game on the final play of the contest. Oh, baby.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. What a scene in Lincoln, baby.
Nebraska will snap the ball a length of the football away from the goal line. And they want to throw. What a play call. Anunua. He's going to go 99 yards. Holy cow, what a call.
Frazier adding more numbers, more yards to those.
Oh, they don't have them yet. Look at Tommy Frazier. How many tackles can one man break? Touchdown.
Going to Kenny Bell. Going to make the catch at the 1. Kenny to the 10, 15, 25. Kenny to the 30. He's got some room. Kenny Bell to the 40. Kenny Bell's got one man to beat the kicker. To the 50, to the 40, to the 35, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Nebraska. A 98-yard kickoff return for Kenny Bell.
They're going to put it down, yep, at the 47-yard line. If he were to hit it, it'll go in the books as the longest in school history. This is an attempt of 57 yards. Does he have enough? Is it long enough? He got it!
Sam Fultz gets a good snap. Good boomy kick. This one's sailing towards the end zone. Bounces at the 3. Takes a Husker hop. Huskers will down it inside the 5. Sam Burt scooped it up and held on to it at the 1-yard line. Terrific punt of 52 yards.
Eric Crouch pumps once. Is in trouble. Eludes a tackle. Gets out of the end zone. He's to the 5. He's to the 10. Crouch to the 15. Out across the 20. Crouch to the 25. Out across the 30. 35, 40. Look out. He could go. He's to the 40. He's to the 30. He's to the 20. He's to the 10.
Sumner gets a shotgun snap, throws over the middle, intercepted, picked off Randy Gregory, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, a pick six for big old Randy Gregory. Back in the pocket, steps up, getting rushed, getting hit, getting dropped with a 25, a loose six more. Jared Crick gets another sack, his 9th of the year and his 6th in 2 weeks.
Michigan with the ball, thrown 39-yard line. Gardner turns, straight hand off to Green, hit the backfield, Huskers, Corey Cooper drills him, he loses 2 yards.
Phillips up the middle, explodes, 20, cuts to the line, and Phillips is out of bounds at the 11-yard line.
Zone read, hand off to Cross, big hole, 45-40, 35-30, Amani 25-20, 15-10-5, touchdown Amani Cross, oh baby!
Rodgers takes the ball at the 30, he's hit and got away, back upfield to the 35, to the 40, he's to the 45, he's to the 50, to the 45, to the 40, to the 35, to the 20, to the 10, he's all the way home!
And a snap to Tommy and they give him the trap play and it's Schlesinger inside the 5, and there for the touchdown, he's got the touchdown, it's the touchdown for Corey Schlesinger, it is history, 13-0, and bring the Carl Lincoln.
Here's a handoff to Thunder, who gives it back to Mike Stokes. He's going to throw it. He's got a man out. Yeah! 40. It is. Derrick Rose, 15, 10, final touchdown.
Kellogg's throw. It's going to be tipped and caught. It's caught. It's caught in the touchdown, Westerkamp. Jordan Westerkamp.
And a happy Football Friday, everyone. Doug Duda and Jim Langan with you on the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. It's a bye week for the Big Red, but there are some big-time college football games out there this weekend, Jimmy.
Yes, there are. This is going to be an exciting Saturday. About 4:30, 5 o'clock, 5:30. You got to be able to sit down, have everything, all the meals prepared, because you haven't got any time to get up and make anything. But I'm really looking forward to this Saturday.
I'm not making nothing. I'm just ordering.
There you go. Good idea. That's better. Hey, I've just changed my mind. I'm not doing it either.
I'm ordering.
There you go.
That's what's going on.
They could take their time because I'm going to be occupied watching other things.
Robin Walshett from Husker Online is going to join us, talk Husker football. Also, the opening night for Husker basketball. They got off to a cold start, couldn't shoot the ball against Southwest Minnesota State in their preseason game, so we'll talk about that. They win it easily in the end, but we'll talk about what Robin saw. Also, Matt Buttermore, Hastings College volleyball coach. They begin the GPAC Conference Tournament tomorrow. We'll talk about that. And we've got district volleyball tonight, state high school football quarterfinals in A, B, and C. Even the six-man semifinals are today. We've got a bunch to talk about. We've got Fanatics trivia coming up here in just a little bit. And then later on, we've got Jimmy's selections, Pigskin Pick'em. It is a full Friday. Jimmy, let me ask you a question. With all of these big games going on, is it good or bad that Nebraska is or isn't playing? Say that this was Nebraska-Wisconsin weekend. Would they be overshadowed? Would it be a good thing because they would have played earlier, and maybe if they win, they get pubbed during the Ohio State-Michigan State game? I thought about it at a couple of different angles. Good or bad that Nebraska has the bye this weekend?
I think it's slightly good. I don't think it's probably as big as maybe it is, but I think your point's well taken, and I think any slight margin is important. So I think it's slightly good that we are not playing. Now, we have to win, of course. You know what I mean, to make it good. But what they're going to be doing after this week, I mean, because I think there's three games, like the Arizona State Notre Dame game. The loser of that game's out, you know, for instance. And there's some other games, Michigan State and Ohio State. The loser of that game is out. So there's some other games. And Doug, you can help me with those, who they are. You know, I mean, you got the Alabama, LSU, I guess, you know, Baylor, Oklahoma. I mean, there are so many people that are out possibly this week. So next week, they are really going to be looking at who can we take, who's out of this thing, because it's going to get limited down to about seven teams here in about 2 weeks. You know, that's how close it's going to get. Because I think Florida State probably is going to get in, you know, and I don't think they might be one of the best four teams, but I think they're going to get in because I think they'll be undefeated. And I think that's one thing the committee has done, Doug. They have really recognized people that are undefeated, or people that have lost one game and they lost to somebody really good when they played on the road. Well, you know, they didn't really penalize, like, for instance, a Michigan State for losing at an Oregon. You know, that wasn't a penalty, but they did give Oregon credit for the win. You know, and so it's going to be interesting to see how that's taking place. I just think that they really don't want to take three teams from one conference, no matter what conference that is. The committee does not want to do that. They want to get this, and they'd like to get four different groups. I mean, that's what they'd like to have.
Can I ask you a question?
Fire away.
TCU has how many losses?
I believe one, don't they?
How many losses Baylor have?
They have one loss.
Who'd TCU lose to?
They lost to Baylor.
How's TCU ahead of Baylor?
I guess this is the only way I'm going to say this. The game was at Baylor, and the way the game was a 21-point game, and Baylor had to come from back and do it that way. So they were really struggling because, you know, hey, you got West Virginia involved in this mix too. You know, because West Virginia is somebody that they both played. You know, so there's so many. I mean, it's kind of like the Michigan State or Oregon game. If there would have been a third team in there, if Michigan State and Oregon, and there'd been a third team in there, let's just say, for instance, that Michigan State actually beat an Arizona, and Arizona beat Oregon, then you got a mess. So you got to make a separation. But I think if you look up that the way the TCU won that game, the way they won it, I think that has a little precedence. I think it's more important to win. You know, I think Nebraska was not going to get penalized for winning the Michigan State game, even though the way they would have had to do it would have been kind of getting outplayed for 3.5 quarters, you know. What's your feeling on that?
I think this is the week that TCU's getting a bunch of hype, and how many points did they win by last week?
They won by one with
one.
West Virginia, right?
Right, yeah, and Virginia's 6-3. I'm just saying nobody's – I think under the logic – that a lot of people are talking about,
sure,
and that you've kind of talked about here, TCU does not belong at 6, and Alabama doesn't belong at 5. Alabama didn't lose to Mississippi State. They lost to Mississippi. Mississippi has since lost 2 times, and they are down at number 11. So, I think Oregon, 4, and then you could put Kansas State, 5. Their loss was to Auburn, who's 3. Then you put Michigan State, 6, because their loss was to Oregon on the road. And then you can start dropping in. Then you move TCU and you move Alabama back. That's just kind of the way I would look at it, with the way the national pundits are talking. Well, it's who you lost to. Well, apparently not, because Alabama and TCU are 5-6.
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing. I am completely on your side on your Alabama argument.
And they both have one-point win here in the last month. Alabama by 1 over Arkansas, and as we just talked about, TCU by 1 over West Virginia.
Yeah, and what I'm trying to tell you is I am agreeing with you on Alabama. If I was on the committee and you and I'd be strongly pushing Alabama back. Even though Alabama, year in and year out's good, that's not what this is about. This is about this year's team, mm-hmm, and what you've done lately. I mean, Alabama lost to Auburn and Oklahoma last year, late. You know, so I can understand, you know, if you're going to recognize somebody like a Florida State for winning 23 consecutive games, or an Auburn who's won quite a few games in a row and only has that one loss, I can understand where they're doing that, but Alabama should be completely back there. The trouble with the TCU-Baylor situation is also some other teams involved. Kansas State's involved. Oklahoma's involved. We've got West Virginia deeply involved, and that's one thing that maybe helps Alabama out a little bit. Alabama beat West Virginia by 10. West Virginia went to Texas Tech and only won by like 4. And you guys have that information probably in front of you. But they struggled. That game was an overtime game, wasn't it, Doug? You know, I mean, but West Virginia is the weird, because West Virginia did beat Baylor by 14, and TCU went into Baylor and beat them. But they kicked the last-second field goal. It wasn't like they dominated the game. I'll tell you what, that's somebody I don't want on my schedules, West Virginia at their place. I don't want to play West Virginia there.
And again, this is just debate for today, because I'm still on the board that it's going to work itself out. If Alabama and Kansas State run the table, they have to be in the top 4. They have to be. And I say that, saying that if none of the other guys lose, then it'll be kind of crazy. But if Alabama does, then Mississippi State has to lose, and that will be interesting as well. So, a couple of these teams, even if they run the table and get left out, I can only imagine if K-State or Alabama runs the table and gets left out. Now, Alabama won't get left out, because that means they'd beat Mississippi. They're sitting in the 5-hole. They would slide in. We'll see how it plays out. Our Midtown Mark Cooler question yesterday was asking you about the weekend of college football with the Huskers on a bye. Which game are you most looking forward to watching? Obviously, in Big Ten country, it was heavy towards the Michigan State-Ohio State game at 62%. 25% said Alabama, LSU, 13% TCU, and Kansas State. No votes for the other ones that we had out there. So vote on our Midtown Mart Cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics for the weekend. Jeffrey is getting away from the Huskers because the Huskers aren't playing. He's going to Creighton men's basketball, picked 9th in the Big East. What's your outlook? They make the NCAA, or it's the NIT or worse? I'm going to go NIT. I don't think it's going to be worse. They're going to be a 500 ball club and not go to that CBI, SAJ, KVD, whatever those other tournaments are. But you can't get picked 9th in your conference. Of course, I guess you can. Nebraska got picked 12th in their conference, and they made the NCAA tournament. I think Creighton's going to be better than some people in the Big East think, though.
I really don't know right now at this time, but I like your letters.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to be getting into Fanatics Friday, fantastic trivia, and I'm going to change that around every Friday. Sometimes it's going to be Fantastic Friday Fanatics trivia. Sometimes it's going to be Fantastic Friday Fanatics trivia, and sometimes I'm going to throw some other Fs in there, and it's always going to be on Friday.
That's a good idea. We're going to break now. I wanted to talk about that Amherst game you called. I listened to the whole game on the radio, and what a tremendous, exciting game. You did a nice job calling it, too, Doug, by the way. I followed it pretty well. And there was a holding call. You had a little holding penalty there with about a minute to go. Must have been a bad one because it was on a dive. It was on a straight dive. Yeah. Took a second. Must have been a real bad hold. The kid must have put him in a headlock and just threw him down. Is that what happened? No.
Okay. I'm sure it was. Yeah. I have not heard.
Took him right out of field goal range.
I haven't heard back from the staff. We'll take a break here on the Doug. I'm just saying, it was the only hold of the game on either team. We'll take a break. Be back with more on the Doug and Daddy Show. Matt Buttermore, Hastings College, Robin Walshit from Husker Online. Stay with us.
The Village Green at Good Samaritan Society Hastings Village offers seniors a comfortable lifestyle in a caring community. The Village Green is designed to accommodate those who require a little extra. Apartments feature full kitchen, spacious living room, accessible bathroom, and an emergency call system. Services include a noon meal, housekeeping, and transportation. The Village Green can help you maintain your independence with services to keep you safe and healthy. Contact Hastings Village or find us on the web at good-sam.com.
Opening soon, NMC, the Cat Rental Store, is honored to partner with the Kearney community with the opening of our newest rental store at 2608 32nd Street, Suite C. Cat Rental is your source for daily, weekly, and monthly rental of high-quality, low-hour cat and top allied brands of equipment and attachments. Contact us for your next rental and choose from skid steer loaders, tow behind booms, generators, and so much more. Visit online, nmcrental.com, or call 855-NMC-RENT, nmcrental.com, or call 855-NMC-RENT. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll see a mix of clouds and sunshine develop today with a high temperature into the upper 60s. Winds out of the west develop around 10 to 20 miles per hour. For tonight, with a low at 35, we'll stay partly to mostly cloudy. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 54.
Come to decide that the things that I tried will ruin my life. Back at the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. where it's getting time to think holidays, and they've always got great deals with their hassle-free pricing, but you may be looking for that new job as the first of the year is rolling around and Midway is growing and seeking motivated and enthusiastic individuals. No experience is needed. They will train you, and product specialists, customer service reps, technicians, and a whole lot more. You can see the full list of jobs and even apply online at MidwayCareers.com. How about that? In this day and age, you don't have to be all nervous about prepping for that first interview or going in and get the application and put on three cakes of, of deodorant and make the hair all up, put the tie on. Now, you may do that for the final interview, but you can relax. You can look and see what's there, see if there's something up your alley, see if there's something you'd be interested in. Again, no experience needed because they will train you. Go to MidwayCareers.com and fill out your app today and see what's going on at the Midway Auto Dealerships, taking care of you with their vehicles and taking care of the community as well. Midway, South 2nd Avenue, Kearney, and think Midway.com. We have the GPAC Conference Volleyball Tournament getting underway tomorrow. Hastings College will be hitting the road as the number 5 seed, and the head coach, Matt Buttermore, joins us here for a couple of minutes. Coach, good morning.
How's it going?
Well, it's going good. Let's win some more volleyball games. You guys have had a nice little stretch, 9-3 in your final 12 here. A couple of those are against a nationally rated team. You picked up a win against a nationally rated team in this conference, and kind of take me through the last 12 games, maybe the month of October. Have things kind of reached their peak for you?
Yeah, I think we're just, the old saying is trying to get a little bit better every day, and I think that's, especially true with this group. Like we've talked about before, we're a younger group, and I think you've just seen us improve week by week in the conference. We're a matchup problem for some teams. We're a tough team for a team like Midland, who's very skilled, very smooth to play, but we're a lot bigger than they are. So we cause some problems with a lot of teams, and our offense has been playing better lately, and you've seen the result of that.
You've got Logan there that has done some good things. She's been the player of the week a couple of times in the conference. She's just a sophomore out of Schuyler. Is she one of the players that kind of emerged for you here over the last month?
Yeah, she'd had some nice games off and on. And by games, I mean sets earlier in the season, but just wasn't as consistent as we needed her to be. And we put her in against Midland the first time at home, and she went off. She was our leading point scorer, and she only played 4 of the 5 sets, and has never really looked back. The scary thing about Logan is she's probably got, she's probably about playing about 70% of her potential right now. So she's only going to get better, and she's such a physical presence at the net, and she's fast and she's strong, and she just causes a lot of problems for the other team.
Matt Buttermore, the head volleyball coach at Hastings College, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show as they get ready to go to Concordia tomorrow. Let's talk about Concordia and what you see out of them.
Well, they're one of the best offenses in the conference, and we played them here and swept them. We had 18 blocks, so that was if you know anything about volleyball, that's a ridiculous amount of blocks. And then we played well offensively, so the combination of those two, we're a tough matchup for them. So they're going to be at home. I'm sure they'll have a good crowd, and they've won some big matches this year. They beat us once, they beat Dort once. They're playing with a lot of confidence, and they have some very good young players. They have a player out of Extra Milligan, Claire White, that does a lot for them. So they create some matchup problems for us, and we're going to have to play really well.
Matt, one of the reasons you guys are getting some blocks, which you did again against Doan when you dominated them on Wednesday night, a good freshman there, Katie Plocky, has been able to step in and out of Northwest and immediately contribute.
Funny you should mention her. She's sitting right here. We're in the middle of a video session. So,
how's that video session going?
Good. We're actually just working on blocking, talking about blocking. She had a nice game blocking against Stone. Katie has continued to get better. I think we talked about that the last time we talked, as she continues to improve her location setting and get more comfortable with the college game, we continue to improve. And then she also throws in, I think she averaged 1.5 blocks for the week last week, which is, as a middle, that would be put you in the top 5 in the country. So as a setter to do that, it really gives us a huge advantage. And then we have Zuha on the other right side, so we can really play in the matchups that we like, because we don't have a short setter over there that, can cause some matchup problems for us.
Coach, with the success you've had with the blocking, are you using a lot of double blocking, or does it depend on what the rotation is?
Well, you always try to double block, but we have a couple of things. We have good athletes making good decisions, and really kind of a lot of it's just getting where they can trust themselves, not to get into some guessing and getting let the other team get them out of their game, and they can trust their athleticism to close some blocks and a lot of it's some of the eye reading that we've been working on in practice. They just have a really good bead on the hitters for the most part. So it helps with the call. That helps a lot.
Matt Buttermore with us for another minute here. Hastings College volleyball coach. What time's the bus or vans leave tomorrow for you guys?
We're going to take off at 3, go have a pregame at our graduate assistant's parents' house. And she's from Seward, so we're going to go out there and have a nice meal and get kind of the team mentally focused and ready to go and ready for another tough night in the GPAC on Saturday night.
Okay, so that gives Katie time to drive up to Northwest High School and give the pregame speech for their sub-state match, right?
Yeah, I think she's ready for that.
Well, they're in a little danger. They're actually not secured with this sub-state thing, so they got to beat to Omaha Mercy, and they'll be the favorite to in that one. Another young lady that I want to bring up here, whose name that I saw a couple of times is Morgan Heiss. Came in after doing some JUCO work for you, and she's contributed in the second half of the season.
Yeah, she's led us in kills a couple matches. She has been hitting for a high percentage of some matches, and she kind of gets used, the GPAC is just a real physical conference, so she gets more used to that. She played for a really, really good junior college team, but I think we're just a little bit bigger, and so she's getting used to a little more power game, and you've seen that. I think she hit for 278 Wednesday night. She had a nice game against Midland last time we played them. So, she's adjusting, and a lot of it's adjusting to what we're asking of her to do, too. So, and she's we've had her head in for some serving, too, and she's got a big jump serve, and we've been able to use that lately as well. So, just a lot of local kids contributing, which we love to see.
I think I know the answer, but I've been wrong before, Matt. You guys need to win this to make the national tournament?
We need to win the conference tournament. I think there might be a shot if we make it to the finals and lose, but we would need a lot of help. So, winning the conference tournament is probably our only shot.
And is Northwestern a little heads and tails above everybody, or how do you see the field right now?
Athletically, physically, they match up with us well. And then they have, a lot of real experienced players. They have the player of the year last year. She's a senior this year. They have a nice right side that does a lot for them. They have a setter that transferred from Northern Iowa last year. So they have a lot of good pieces. They actually did drop their first regular season conference game to Dort on Wednesday night. So they are human and they can be beat. And we played them here. The game we took off them, we didn't play ridiculous. We just played well. I think we didn't come out with a great competitive level. And so we make it to the semis. I think we'll see a better match out of us, and it'll come down to the wire, I think.
All right, Matt, best of luck throughout the tournament, and I'm sure we'll see you scouting along the way somewhere. So thanks for the time.
Sure will. See you later, Doug.
Take care, Coach. Matt Buttermore joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Hastings College tomorrow night at Concordia, 7:30. Then if they win, most likely we'll get the number one team in Northwestern of Iowa, which will pretty much determine if their season continues beyond the conference tournament or not. Also got UNK volleyball. They're on the road tonight. Tonight should be a game that they will win. And then tomorrow night will be a big one. And out of these final four, they've got a couple. This one tomorrow night and the one against Washburn. Tomorrow night it's against Missouri Western, who's 20-6, to see if they're even going to make the NCAA tournament. They remain sixth this week in the Central region. And we'll see how it all plays out. Two games this weekend and then final two, and they're all done. Huskers are at home tomorrow against Indiana, 7 o'clock at the Devaney, and that'll be on Nebraska Educational Television. And, Jimmy, before we go into fantastic Friday Fanatics trivia, do you realize what begins in Valparaiso, Indiana today?
What is it? What's going on?
The only number one team that Nebraska has right now begins their season.
Is that right? Yeah. Is it bowling or what is it? Is it bowling?
That's out for my Freddie, my friends Fast Eddie and gang over in Elwood. The number one rated Nebraska women's bowling team opens the season at the Crusader Classic in Valparaiso. 14 teams getting underway. They're playing this morning. The Baker Match System Coach Bill Straub said the team has had some really good preparations leading up to the tournament, mentioning that his team is probably one of the most skilled teams he's had in 18 years of coaching at NU. I don't know if they've switched the brand of smokes or cocktails that they have, but they are ready to roll, my friend.
You know, I've watched that bowling NCAA just because of you. I watched it one time on TV because it was on. I thought, I got to watch this. And you, I was really surprised that they did not have any food that was like, you know, I expected
nachos.
I picked nachos, chips. And you'd have to get, you know, in fact, hey, you're up. Oh, I'm busy eating nachos, you know. And then, hey, everybody knew when it was their turn to bowl. It was kind of organized. They kind of had matching shirts. That was one thing, you know, and they were tucked in.
And you never heard anybody say, hold on, I'm getting around.
Yeah, you never had that. And, hey, if somebody got a strike, you know, a lot of their teammates cheered and were happy for them instead of like when you bowl and you get one. Oh, you're lucky.
Beer frame.
Yeah, that's right.
Here's names you need to know. Liz Culkin, Andrea Ruiz, Beth Headley, Jasmine Mason, Brianna Zabarek. Those are some names you're going to need to know.
I wonder how many left-handed. Do we have any lefties there going or not?
Definitely. It's all oil pattern.
There you go.
It's all oil pattern. See what's going on there. Let's do Fanatics Friday Trivia right now. If you have not won this week, yours is your chance at 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. If you get the correct answer to our trivia question, you will win a $25 gift card to our friends at Fanatics, and get some good food this weekend, settle in and watch some great sporting activities. So give us a call at 888-455-3776. Let's go to the phone lines. Who are we chatting with?
Weston.
All right, Weston. The baseball season, as you may have known, ended here recently. And this week, Alex Gordon received his fourth gold glove. 4 years in a row, Alex Gordon has won a gold glove. That puts him second all-time for the Kansas City Royals. Only one Royal in history has won more gold gloves than Alex Gordon. Who is it?
Oh, Bo Jackson?
Not Bo. Try back. 888-455-ESPN. Obviously, it's not an obscure name either, or else they wouldn't have won as many as they did. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, it looks like. 8 gold gloves for this player. Let's continue on with our trivia. Who are we chatting with?
Ken.
Who has won more gold gloves with the Royals than Alex Gordon?
Frank White.
Man, it's just like confident. You knew it. I couldn't even joke with you because you know
I'm
it's right.
I'm a baseball fan. You can tell your comrade there I'm a Cleveland Indian fan since 1954.
I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry that you've been around that long, and I'm sorry that you're an Indian fan, but that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. The Indians, I'm going to have to sick you on to Damon Day here, but that is correct. $25 gift card coming your way. Hang on the line, and producer Jeff will get you set up. Congratulations.
All right.
Yeah, Frank White. Amos Otis was the first one once they came to Kansas City. Frank White, second baseman, won it 8 times. And really, there hasn't been a lot of other multiple winners. In fact, Hosmer and Perez, each winning 2, Otis, White, and Gordon. If I'm looking at this right, they're the only multiple winners. George Brett won it 1 time. Willie Wilson won it 1 time. Bob Boone, Brett Saberhagen won it 1 time. Jermaine Dye, 1 time when he was with the Royals. Mark Grzelcyk won one in 2006. In fact, he was the only Royal to win a gold glove between 2000 and 2011. Dye and Grzelcyk, the only Royals to win gold gloves between 89 and 2011. That tells you why it was 29 years since they'd been in the playoffs. Oh, man. Fanatics, your sports bar dedicated to bringing you the game, great foods, and great times. Follow the Huskers and the rest of college football, as well as the NFL, on one of their 23 high-definition televisions, including 2 huge HD projection TVs, custom handcrafted pizza with your choice of toppings made to your specifications. And don't forget, might be the last weekend to utilize the outdoor beer garden. Go out to the bullpen. It's comfortable TVs, great seats. Enjoy some nice weather and enjoy some great food and sports this weekend at Fanatics. Congratulations. $25 gift card out the door. When we come back, Jimmy's Selections. We will also be talking with Robin Walsh of Husker Online and Pigskin Pick'em. Stay with us.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares. OneRocky.com.
The high school postseason continues today here on ESPN Radio, our network of stations, and PlatteRiverPreps.com. It's a high school football doubleheader beginning this afternoon at 2:30 as Kearney Catholic takes on Columbus SCOTUS, kickoff at 3, and then Kearney High will host Omaha North, kickoff at 7. On 1230 KHAS, Hastings St. Cecilia will host David City Aquinas at 7, and on Classic Hits 98.9, the C15 District Volleyball Championship between Kearney Catholic and Grand Island Central Catholic, first serve at 7:30.
Lift the hearts of others and let people know you care this holiday season. Spread joy with the help from Copycat Printing. Send greetings with personalized holiday cards, calendars, or festive stationery. At Copycat Printing, it's easy. Simply go to our website, kearneycopycat.com, and click on Shop to browse through lots of new choices, both business and personal. Or make an impression and have your holiday cards custom made by our talented designers. Make the season yours with Copycat Printing in Kearney. Like us on Facebook for additional savings.
It's third down and 6, but that doesn't matter much anymore. With only 4 seconds left, the Lions are down by 5 points, and it's do or die at the 16-yard line. The game hinges on this play. Here comes the snap. Blitz coming from the field side, and he's going to run with it to the 15. Cutting inside to the 10. 5.
Are there any worse words than, quote, buffering or loading? When you think reliability and internet, think Prairie iNet. Prairie iNet provides reliable high-speed service that can keep pace with the excitement of football season. Sign up for Prairie iNet Internet today to receive a $100 Visa gift card. Now you can stream your favorite TV shows and movies. Plus, when you call now, Prairie iNet will install your system for free. That's a $99 value, a $100 Visa gift card, and free installation just for choosing Prairie iNet. But this offer is for a limited time only, so call Prairie iNet for details now at 308-221-7844. That's 308-221-7844.
Jimmy's Selections coming up here on the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Hey, the Tri-City Storm home this weekend as they take on Muskegon tonight at 7:30, 7:05 tomorrow. And Tri-City Youth Hockey invites boys and girls ages 4 to 9 to the Viero Event Center Saturday from 11:45 to 12:45 for a Tri-Hockey for Free clinic. You'll experience ice hockey for the first time and learn the basics of the sport in a fun, safe environment. It's part of Come Play Hockey Month. It's designed to provide youth hockey associations a national platform to introduce new kids to the sport. And with Total Hockey and Liberty Mutual, the official sponsors, USA Hockey has 500 locations offering this. So right now, if you're interested, show up tomorrow. You can go to tryhockeyforfree.com. That's a website, tryhockeyforfree.com, all one word. You can call Kelly at 293-4141, 308-293-4141 if you want to get a hold of Kelly for more information. But again, the Tri-City Youth Hockey to the Viero Event Center for Tri-Hockey for Free Clinic, and it's tomorrow from 11:45 until 12:45. Well, Jimmy, you got some selections for us this week. Are they any good?
They were like last week's. They weren't.
It's bounce back week.
Yeah, that's what it's got to be, right?
So let's see how it goes. Last year, hot start, kind of cooled at the end. This year, cold start, warmed up. But very rarely did you have a bump in the middle of the road, so I'm going to be anxious. Is this the transition week? Is it going to be on the downward, or are we going to rocket towards December?
We're gonna find out.
Yeah.
Okay, the first one I'm going to give you is a professional football game, and these are things that if you just listen, this game maybe won't hit, but you look for these things. And what it is, it's a revenge factor, and now you're a home team, and you're the underdog. You're getting points.
Three of those in the NFL this weekend.
Yeah.
Three home dogs.
And what I'm saying is, and a revenge factor is very critical.
And it's not Oakland.
No, the team's Tampa Bay, and they were down 56-0 in the middle of the third quarter to Atlanta on a Thursday night game.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got the revenge factor, and now they're at home, and they're getting 3 points. And the fourth criteria that I like is only 17% of the people are taking them. You know, so that's a fourth thing, and those are all things I like. So I like Tampa Bay plus the 3 against Atlanta, and I don't think Atlanta's playing as well as they did, you know, at that time of this season. So I think Tampa Bay is 1-7. You know, that's their record right now. They've got 1 win and 7.
Atlanta's 2-6.
Yeah, and I just think that that game, you know, getting the points, you might as well take them and go with it. The other one, I like the Chiefs a little bit. They're hot. They play pretty well on the road. And I think they're favored by 1.5 points. I think that's what the spread is. And they are playing on the road. And the Chiefs have been playing, really have always played pretty good on the road. And they're a hot team right now. And I think you want to take the Chiefs. In the college, I have a few I like a little bit. One of them I like Utah plus the 10 versus Oregon on the road. I think Utah always plays pretty well at home. I like Virginia against Florida State. That thing is right now is at 20.5. And Virginia, Florida State struggled all year long against the spread. They've got off to bad starts. They just haven't been the same team as they were last year. I like Arizona State. I think they just have better athletes than Notre Dame. The spread's 1. It's a revenge factor kind of because Notre Dame's won the last couple of meetings there, and a couple of them have been controversial calls right at the end of the game. But this isn't a huge – I thought it was going to be a better play, but about 48% of the people are taking Arizona State. I thought it might be less than that, so – other people are kind of jumping that bandwagon. Got to be careful of that. I'm taking UAB plus the 5 versus Louisiana Tech. They're at home. They played a pretty good schedule. And I'm going to tell you to stay away from this game. SMU, we gave it to them earlier. We said they were the worst team in the nation. You could bet against them all year long. They, so far, if you've bet them all year long, you've won 7 and you've lost 1. Because they are 1-7 against the spread. SMU, the worst team in the nation. But this week, they're playing Tulsa. The spread jumped up. It's 14.5, and only 3% of the people in the United States are betting SMU. So this is a good time to get off that bandwagon. You don't want to bet SMU. You could never do that this year. But don't bet the other side of it. Just stay away from the game, and we'll wait for SMU maybe next week.
That's awesome. Let's recap them one more time here. Jimmy has taken the Kansas City Chiefs and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the NFL. He's taking Utah, getting the 10 versus Oregon. He's taking Virginia, getting 21, depending on where you shop, for Florida State. He's taking Arizona State, giving the point against Notre Dame, and Alabama Birmingham, getting 5 against Louisiana Tech. So those are Jimmy's selections for the weekend, and we'll see how those pan out.
Would that be something if Tampa Bay got up 56-0? I'd be a lot happier.
That ain't happening.
Okay, well, I'm dreaming a little bit. I'd be excited.
You know, all the stats that came out yesterday, you got the feeling that Cleveland was the team to take. But, man, when you've won 14 or you're 13-0-1 in your last 14 home games for Cincinnati, and Cleveland hasn't won a division game on the road for the last 17. I mean, yeah, at about number 9, you would have jumped off the bandwagon, wouldn't have you? I mean, there was no reason to think Cleveland was going to do what they did last night. And Cincinnati, who was my dark horse Super Bowl pick and looked great at the beginning of the year, now looks lost.
Well, you know, the thing that is, it's really, in pro football, you got to find that team that's hot and plays well and plays good 3 out of about 4 games. It's not somebody that looks good every week.
Yeah,
I mean, because if you look at New England, they've looked kind of bad at times. I mean, they still got a good record, but New England Patriots have looked bad at times. Denver hasn't looked particularly good at some times during the season. The Chiefs started off really poor. You know, look at Seattle, San Francisco. I mean, they're one of these. I mean, somebody's going to win this Super Bowl here, and is it going to be Arizona? I mean, the only team that probably looks good every week.
Well, everybody was wondering 2 weeks ago if Dallas was the best team in the NFL, and they have stepped up and answered that question, haven't they? Time now to talk a little Husker football and basketball, TNL. We've even got a couple of recruiting things in here, not necessarily for Robin to answer, but to talk about. TNL center pivot owners have come to expect quality and dependability with every TNL irrigation system. And to assure many more years of reliable irrigation, schedule your annual preventative maintenance program today, because performing basic maintenance in the off-season will pay you back when the summer heat arrives. Call your independent TNL dealer to thoroughly inspect your machine from the pivot point to the overhang. TNL irrigation systems, easier on you for a lifetime. And he's got that first basketball game under his belt, and Huskers were down 9 in the first half. Robin Washington, Husker Online, joining us here. Doug Duda and Jimmy Langan. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're doing okay. Coach Miles didn't seem overly concerned after the game last night, and I don't think anybody should be. They ended up winning it by 22. What did you see?
Yeah, you know, a little bit what you would expect. I mean, they have their issues offensively, especially early on, but, you know, that's kind of what these exhibition games are for. You know, you kind of got to just work out the kinks a little bit in these, and I don't know if you put too much stock into it one way or the other. You know, I think people know they're a lot better than what they showed, you know, for the majority of that game. And they kind of came together as they got the defense going in the second half. But overall, you know, it was not the prettiest performance by any means. But, you know, if nothing else, it gives them a starting point of kind of where they need to improve going forward when the games get for real.
Well, the Huskers, and the reason they're playing Southwest Minnesota State, Coach Miles used to coach there. He's very good friends. Coached, in fact, the Southwest Minnesota coach, Bigler, played for Coach Miles. When things started clicking there in the second half, was it just Huskers making buckets, or was it something else?
Well, it started on defense. I know they created a lot of transition scoring opportunities that, you know, led to points. And so it's kind of going to be, I think, a theme that you'll see from this team that when, you know, things don't necessarily go as planned offensively, they're going to rely on that defense to go and kind of make plays for them. And that's exactly what they did. You know, they had Benny Parker going out there and getting steals and create things and, you know, points off turnovers. And that kind of got everything, you know, kind of kick-started a little bit in the second half when they made that run. So I would expect to see that, you know, time and again as the offense continues to struggle. And, you know, they'll kind of rely on that defense, which is kind of the formula they used last year.
Siobhan Shields had 29 points in the game last night, and I had to chuckle. The attendance, I believe, was just over 10,000 fans last night. We couldn't get half that many a year ago. Probably, I wonder what it was last year for the exhibition games, and the first couple games in the new arena kind of are skewed, but you go back maybe 2 years ago, and
yeah,
they couldn't even get six for a conference game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable. Just the amount that the interest level has spiked. You know, like you said, last year, you know, I think that the arena had something to do with it. I think, you know, people really didn't know kind of what to expect from that team a year ago. But, you know, I think you combine, you know, obviously just the venue part of it, but I think the excitement kind of speaks for itself, that people are legitimately pretty jacked up about this team and the kind of the potential they have with this group they have coming back. And I think that, you know, last season's success really has set the bar pretty high as far as fan expectations for, you know, just what this team can accomplish this season.
Yeah, hey, Jim Langan here. You know, you made a great point about that transition, layups, and the number one thing that people in the NBA try to take away is transition layups. You know, they don't want people coming back and getting layups. And Nebraska last year, I thought, was maybe the best in the league at getting back and not giving up the transition layups. I am a little concerned, though, that, you know, people, the good teams, that's what they're going to be able to take away and stop. I mean, and you have to be able to score some, you know, because I really felt, you know, last year in the NCAA tournament when we got beat by Baylor, that was one thing. We had to run a set offense and never could get anything going on the defensive side and go through it. What your concerns, are there any concerns about us one-on-one playing and getting into the set offense?
Yeah, you know, that's kind of the way teams have tried to beat Nebraska, you know, going back to last year, is you pack the lane and make Nebraska, you know, kind of work the ball around and, you know, shoot from the perimeter. And when those shots don't fall, that's when Nebraska struggles. And, you know, and there have been times when they've been able to, you know, create points through their defense. But, you know, you go to that Baylor game, Baylor basically just jammed the lane with their zone and forced Nebraska to beat them with three-pointers. And they weren't shooting well, and they end up getting blown out. So that's, I think, going to be, again, the way teams take on Nebraska, and they're going to make them beat them with perimeter shooting because, you know, they obviously have shown they have guys like Petaway and Shields that can get to the lane and create points. But if you take that away, you know, who's going to be the guy that steps up and knocks down the three-point shot to keep defenses honest? You know, I think you look at a guy like Walter Pitchford is kind of maybe the obvious guy, but, you know, maybe one of the more encouraging things that they can take away from that exhibition is that Ty Webster made three three-pointers in that game, you know, and Last year he made six all season. So they're hoping that he can be, you know, a much bigger addition to the offense and, you know, kind of take some of the pressure off those big three. But, you know, that kind of remains to be seen. You know, that's exactly what Southwest Minnesota State did last night, was force Nebraska to beat them from the perimeter. You know, they played super soft defense and weren't going to allow any drives to let Nebraska get to the hoop. And I would expect to see that night in, night out, because it's just been shown over the course of last season that's how you frustrate Nebraska and get them off their rhythm.
Talk with Robin Walsh of Husker Online. You can read all of his comments from last night's game online at huskeronline.com. What is your thoughts now? We'll have a little over a week to wait for the opener of the regular season. What's this team got? Especially, I'm very anxious to see how they handle the expectations. It is so different than 1 year ago.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, last year they caught everybody by surprise, and they're going to have a big old target on their back every night they take the court this season. You know, especially a guy like Teran Pettaway. You know, he's going to be a top priority for every single team they face. And I have a feeling things might get a little frustrating for him at times. And, you know, even last night, you know, we saw some body language issues with him. You know, he was, what, 3 of 16 from the field. And, you know, he was doing the hanging his head thing and, you know, or slumping the shoulders. And, you know, that was a little bit of a concern, you know, just because you would hope that, you know, one of the things he was able to prove on was composure, which was, you know, maybe one of his biggest issues a year ago. But, you know, we'll kind of see how that plays out, you know, as the, you know, games start to get for real. And, you know, the Nebraska kind of takes it a little bit more seriously than, you know, maybe they did last night. You know, but I think that this team has the veteran leadership to not get too caught up in the hype. You know, I mean, obviously this is a different situation than any Nebraska team has faced in, you know, a better part of a decade. So it'll be interesting, you know, this kind of the big question facing this team is, you know, how they're going to be able to handle, you know, being, you know, not only projected to compete in the Big Ten conference, but also make the NCAA tournament again and then win a game. You know, that's where the bar is set right now. And, you know, those expectations are as high as they've ever been for this program. And it's the key question. And, you know, I think that they were able to learn a little bit more about themselves in that exhibition game, and hopefully they can, you know, take, you know, some of the mistakes they made there and, you know, work on correcting them moving forward, because, you know, from here on out, the score actually counts, unlike they did last night.
Hey, great point. I think that's a tremendous point you made about the bar has been raised to win an NCAA game. Now, I don't think Nebraska maybe has to generally be in the top 4 seed. You know, last year they got the 4th seed, and it was kind of an amazing turn of events that they got that thing. Even if they're the 5th or 6th seed going in, they're going to get into the tournament if they have a successful season, you know, 20 wins, etc. But I think you're exactly right. I think people want that first win. And boy, I mean, you can taste it right now in November. You can imagine what it's going to be like if they make the tournament and it's March 15th.
No doubt. I mean, it's kind of the issue that comes with success. You know, with the more and more success you have, the higher the expectations get, the bar gets raised. And so, you know, it's interesting. You mentioned getting a 4 seed in the conference tournament. You know, that oddly enough becomes even more important than it was even a year ago, because of the additions of 2 new teams, Maryland and Rutgers, of the Big Ten. All of a sudden, if you're a top 4 team in the conference tournament, you get basically 2 byes. So you're going to get teams 10 through 14 are going to have to play in the first round, and then they go on and play, you know, teams 5 through 10 in that next round. And so if you're a top 4 seed, you're going to have potentially face a team that's already played 2 games before you play your first game in the tournament. So that being said, if Nebraska's got some pretty good incentive to kind of replicate their play in Big Ten that they had a year ago, just to, you know, make things even, you know, that much easier for them to, you know, not only you know, have a good run to the Big Ten championship, but potentially get a higher seed in the NCAA tournament and face a little bit more easier to win draw once they get to the Big Dance.
Taking a page from the Big East bracket that I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with when March rolls along. We've got to talk a little football, obviously, with Robin Washut here of Husker Online. Dan has fired this question off because Omaha North plays at Kearney in the state football quarterfinals tonight at Foster Field. Dan says, we have an opportunity to see one of the best running backs in recent memory from the state of Nebraska tonight in Calvin Strong. He is currently committed to South Dakota. Why not Nebraska? Is Dan's question. Robin.
Well, you know, I think there's a lot of other factors that go into it. You know, for one, you know, it's the size, and that's going to be a factor. You know, for, you know, being a guy that's, you know, barely even 6 foot, to be generous, you know, the guy that really doesn't have blazing speed, you got to wonder how that production is going to translate when you get to, you know, the big boy level of a Power 5 conference. You know, that's one factor. And then, you know, I think there are other reasons that, you know, maybe we won't mention here that that go kind of leading to his offer list. You know, Nebraska's not the only one that's not offering him. So it's kind of one of those deals where it's kind of disappointing that a guy can be that good as far as Nebraska high school is concerned, but that, you know, isn't able to kind of take his game to the next level at a higher stage. But, you know, it's kind of just the situation of where it is with Calvin.
And it's no secret, because when he committed, grades are definitely one of the issues.
Yeah.
His testing scores are one of the issues, and that's public knowledge. We're not trying to break anything down here, but that's part of it. He's got to get his grades up. Inside, I mean, there's hard fact news that we can report, and then there's what we hear. What's the Husker Online staff hearing behind the scenes about Amir?
You know, it's definitely, you know, an issue of just kind of how quickly his knee can heal up. You know, I think having the bye week was huge. You know, I think that it's obviously an MCL issue, and similar to what Rex Burkhead dealt with his senior year a few years ago. You know, and, you know, Rex was able to return, but if you remember, he really was never the same guy after that injury. You know, he was always kind of a little limited. You know, he had that big brace on his knee and really kind of you know, held him back, you know, as far as his cutting and, you know, just explosiveness through the hole. So that's going to be one thing. I mean, Amir should be able to play. The question is if he's going to be, you know, the Amir that we all know. They might end up having him, you know, just be more of a decoy than anything if he's not able to, you know, make the types of cuts that make him such an explosive player. You know, obviously if he's on the field, defenses have to account for him. So that'll be huge, just having him suited up. But I think it really depends on how his rehab has gone, you know, over the next 2 weeks before they finally take the field again, to see just what type of player he will be if he takes the field again next Saturday.
Robin, we discussed this at the start of the show. With so many big games on this college football Saturday, including the biggest Big Ten game of the year, Ohio State, Michigan State, good or bad that Nebraska has a bye week? We kind of discussed that it might be good, because even if they did something good, it would be overshadowed. And if they did something bad with all the teams that could potentially get wins this weekend, it might just bury them.
Yeah, you know, I think it's good in the way that there's a lot of ranked teams playing each other. And so, you know, they have a chance to move up by default. And, you know, also if Wisconsin takes care of business against Purdue, they have a chance to you know, bump themselves up and, you know, make that game an even, you know, more marquee deal than, you know, maybe it would have been otherwise. So, you know, it's kind of one of those things where, yeah, sure, you would like to, you know, be, you know, on the field during, you know, one of the most more anticipated weeks of the season so far. But at the same time, I think it's also nice to be able to sit back and kind of let things shake out and have a much better idea of where you actually stand when you go into, you know, maybe the biggest conference game of the season so far.
Hey, Jim Lyon here. You know, we're going back on Amir Abdullah and his injury. You know, when I coached, I was a high school coach in Nebraska, and it seemed like every time I had a kid that had any type of an injury like that, that was a quick player and elusive and had to use everything he did, he really never came back. And I'm just hoping that that's not the case. But it just, what I'm trying to say is, we always thought, hey, we can do this and we'll tape it up and we'll do all these things that we can do. But it really did not ever fire. It never did come back. And like you said, there's some people, he'll be able to make some plays and he'll be able to do some stuff, but I just don't see it. But what's unfortunate is we would know for sure if he was playing like a Northwestern or a Purdue or somebody like that, if he was ready to go again. But, you know, when we played Michigan State, even though he was completely healthy, he never got on track. And I'm just wondering if Wisconsin's defense will be good enough to kind of contain him anyway. Your thoughts on that? And then the last thing I'm going to talk to you about is, what do we need to do offensively? What do we need to do offensively to get us out of this thing without him if he's not healthy?
Well, I guess to start with Amir, you know, Wisconsin's defense is, I think, much improved from, you know, where they were last year and even where they were at the beginning of the season. You know, I think that switch to the 4-3 to the 3-4, it finally starting to take shape. You know, I think that they finally got their athletes in place in that front seven to kind of do what Gary Anderson wants to do with that kind of that disguising 3-4, you know, scheme that really likes to try and get a free rusher on every play by, you know, kind of disguising certain blitz packages. So that's going to be a different look, much different than what they saw against Michigan State. You know, Michigan State is just, you know, 4-3 physical, we're going to punch you in the mouth type thing, whereas Wisconsin likes to use their athleticism, speed. You know, they're not the biggest front season by any means, or front seven by any means. And, you know, like I said, they like to, you know, try and throw offensive lines, you know, off kilter with, you know, different blitz looks. So it'll be interesting to kind of see how Nebraska attacks that compared to how they did against Michigan State, just because really both those defenses are two completely different animals. You know, and then as far as what Nebraska's offense needs to do, they need to stay out of their own way. You can't drop snaps. You can't drop passes. You can't misread, make bad throws. I mean, a lot of the things that Nebraska has done has been, you know, self-inflicted. Just some mental errors that good offenses just don't do. And they, you know, need to, you know, play at a, or execute at a level where they were, you know, maybe even earlier in the year. You know, I think they've shown flashes of how good they can be when they're all on the same page and, you know, not tripping over their own feet. So I think just those simple things, especially against a Wisconsin team that doesn't make a lot of mistakes, like they can't afford to do what they did the other week against Purdue and expect to get away with a victory, especially in Madison.
All right, Robin, have safe travels out to Madison. We'll see you when Minnesota rolls in a couple of weeks. We appreciate the time on the Doug and Daddy Show, and enjoy the hoops as well.
Oh, I will. Thanks for having me.
All right, thanks, Robin. Robin Walsh from Husker Online, part of our Husker Recruiting Update, brought to you by TNL Irrigation Systems, proven technology that's easier on you for a lifetime. And we are at that point of the show where it is the time to wrap up the weekend. But we can't do it. Can't wrap up the week without doing Pigskin Pick'em. Jeffrey, what do we got in the prize vault this week? It's brand new? Somebody beat us? How'd that happen? Are we sure that Kelly didn't cheat? I think the fix was in last week. I think he had some insider information. I smell a 30 for 30 or at least a 10 for 10 coming up. But let's get back to it. If you answer our trivia question, you'll get the Big Daly's Deli Combo Meal, top of the hill at Kearney and across from Duncan Field in Hastings. That's just for answering the trivia question. You'll get the Cunningham's Cash if you can beat Jimmy and I on this week's selections. If you have not went up against us this year or haven't won anything yet today, you've got a chance right now. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-3776. Here's your trivia question. Ohio State won another conference game last week, Jimmy. It was their 20th consecutive conference win. Ohio State won their 20th consecutive conference game last week. That ties the Big Ten record. Which school has the Big Ten record for 20 consecutive conference wins? 888-455-ESPN. Call now.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Anderson Brothers, your neighbor serving your neighborhood since 1947, wants to help a neighbor this winter. Anderson Brothers wants to install a high-efficiency furnace free into the home of someone who's truly deserving and in need. Do you know of someone you'd like to nominate? Do you own your own home and are in need? Just contact Anderson Brothers in Kearney or Holdridge before November 14th for your nomination. Giving back to the community, it's just Anderson Brothers' way of saying thank you for the honor of serving Central Nebraska for over 65 years.
At First National Bank, we believe customer interactions are based on relationships, not transactions. That's why we created First National Checking, to prove our commitment to you and the community. This is not a one-time offer, but a demonstration of our ongoing dedication to put customers first. No hidden fees, no surprises, no hoops to jump through. For honest banking with no strings attached, visit one of our offices today. First National Bank, member FDIC.
this?
Right here, sir.
How are we doing so far?
Well, today you bought 3 motorcycles, 7 large-screen TVs, 4 gold watches, and a really big boat.
The starting jackpot for Powerball from the Nebraska Lottery is $40 million. Probably more money than you'll ever need.
What's left?
$39,450,000.
You're off by $50,000.
Sir?
I figure that's how much your new SUV's gonna cost.
I love this job.
So why wait to win? Play Powerball today. Must be 19. Please play responsibly. If you're thinking about playing Powerball from the Nebraska Lottery, think about this. The starting jackpot is $40 million. If you win, you could buy 2 or 3 new cars, purchase a couple of solid gold watches, take several tropical vacations, pay off your folks' mortgage, and still have about $39 million to sock away. When you think about it that way, any Powerball jackpot is a big jackpot. So why wait to win? Play Powerball today. You'll be glad you did, and so will your folks. Must be 19. Please play responsibly.
To some, winning isn't everything. It's the only thing. Others say it's not whether you win or lose. It's how you play the game. But everyone can agree that the uniforms and equipment you play in make a big difference in how you play and how you win. That's why TM Sporting Goods gives you that winning edge with top name brands and personal service. From seasoned pros like Steve Baradol and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the bricks, 2217 Central, downtown Kearney. TM Sporting Goods, a division of Pro Team Design.
Doug and Daddy's show, time for Pigskin Pick'em. Winner of our Big Daddy's Deli large combo meal is Matt from Holdridge. He knew the answer to the trivia question. Last Saturday, Ohio State won its 20th consecutive conference game to tie the Big Ten record with who? The answer? Ohio State from 2005 to 2007. Matt knew that. Now he's going for the Cunningham's cash against Jimmy Langan and myself. Matt, are you ready to roll?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's get after it. The first game on this weekend's schedule is Georgia Tech at North Carolina State. Georgia Tech is favored by 3.5. Who you got, Matt?
North Carolina State.
Jimmy.
I'm going to take North Carolina State also.
Georgia Tech, it doesn't matter what I do, so I'm going to give both of you a victory. Because every time I pick them, they lose, and every time I pick against them, they win. So I'll take Georgia Tech, and that should assure you guys a win. Explain this one to me, Jimmy. Louisville at Boston College. Louisville's only favored by 3.
Yeah, Louisville's been struggling on the road this year. Plus, they had that huge lead on a Thursday night. Was it? I think Thursday night. It might have been a Friday night
Thursday,
game.
Thursday State.
Night, thank you. Yeah, Florida State, and they blew the lead. Boy, maybe their practices weren't very good. Boston College, remember, beat USC at home this year.
Who you got in this one, Matt?
I'll take Boston College.
Boy, you guys are both taking Boston College for the no way, I don't know why, I'm taking Louisville. Iowa State at Kansas. Yes, Kansas has a chance to win a football game, and could the Paul Rhodes era be ending at Iowa State, which is unfortunate because he's a heck of a good guy, but sometimes you need more wins. Iowa State at Kansas, because there is no way Kansas should win this football game. I'm almost ready to change my mind. I was going to take Kansas, but then Paul Rhodes never loses his games he's not supposed to lose, right? So I'll take Iowa State. Jimmy, who you got?
I'm going to take Iowa State.
Matt, who you got here?
I'll take Iowa State as well.
It's a clean sweep. Kansas State at TCU. TCU favored by 6. Matt, who you got?
Let's go with Kansas State.
Jimmy?
I'm going to take Texas Christian.
I'm going to take Kansas State as well. That way I've got all 4 road teams so far. I think Kansas State probably doesn't run the table, but I think they kind of ruin it here for TCU. Baylor at Oklahoma. Huh. Jimmy?
Bum, 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 ba, dum, bum. I'm taking Oklahoma.
Taking Boomer Sooner,
How'd
Matt.
That sound? How'd that sound? Was that pretty good? That's bad.
Okay. Right. You know, I don't want to, you know,
I'm not going to do it again. I'm not going to go there again.
Matt, Baylor at Oklahoma. Oklahoma favored by 5. Who you got?
Oklahoma.
You guys are both taking Oklahoma. I mean, Baylor's on the road. Do I take Baylor? I'm taking Baylor. Alabama at LSU. I'll step up first. I'm taking Alabama. Jimmy?
If Keith Jackson would say, Alabama.
Oh, let me tell you about them. Alabama Crimson Tide. Who you got on this one, Matt?
I'll take LSU.
Oh, there we go. We've got a tiger. We've got some grass eating. Matt likes his grass. Notre Dame at Arizona State. Jimmy, I think we know where you're going because you gave it as one of your selections, so throw it out there.
Arizona State.
I said at the beginning of the year Arizona State was one of my dark horses to make the playoffs. I don't know that they can still hang in there, but they're right there. They still got a chance, I guess, Jimmy. So what do I do? I mean, Arizona State's ninth. They're actually a slot ahead of Notre Dame. I'm taking the Irish. That means I have seven road teams. Matt, who you got here?
Arizona State.
Iowa at Minnesota. We finish with three Big Ten games. Matt, who you got? Iowa at Minnesota. It's basically a pick 'em.
Iowa.
Jimmy?
I'm going to take Iowa also. I changed my mind. I very, very seldom do I do that, but I've changed it three or four different times today in the last 20 minutes.
I've seen that. You've scratched and clawed and turned. And you know, Iowa's on the road here. So maybe it's time to pick a home team. But I picked Iowa to win the Big Ten West. The only chance they do that is by meeting Minnesota. This is a game they should not win. Minnesota should win this game. I'll take Iowa. Michigan at Northwestern. Here's my first home game. I'm taking Northwestern and Pat Fitzgerald. Matt, who do you like?
Oh, neither of them. Northwestern.
Jimmy?
I'm going to take Northwestern, but I'm like, I think he said it right. Neither of them is the correct answer.
And our final game, Ohio State at Michigan State for the Big Ten East title. Jimmy?
I'm going to take Michigan State, but, you know, Ohio State's got a revenge factor here, but the game's at Michigan State. I think Michigan State's maybe a little bit better than Ohio State is this year.
I am going to make it easy on Matt because I'm going to pick next, and I am taking Michigan State. That's who I took at the beginning of the year. I'm staying with them. Matt, who you got?
I really like Michigan State in this one.
All right. There's no Nebraska game, so we had to find somebody else to pick as a tiebreaker. Well, Nebraska played Purdue last week. They play Wisconsin next week. Purdue is hosting Wisconsin. How many total points in the game, Matt? The over-under, by the way, is 55.
Let's go 48.
Well, how interesting, Jimmy. What's your total for the day? Imagine that. You put a half on there, didn't you?
Yeah, 55 and a half.
Nice. Well, last week it was 35-14, so I'm going 35-14 again. I got 49. I kind of pigeonholed myself there. So if it's a low-scoring game, Matt's going to win the tiebreaker. Matt, congratulations on what you've won already, and best of luck for the Cunningham's cash. Enjoy the weekend.
Thank you.
I picked eight road games, Jimmy. I picked eight. Eight road games.
I took three. I guess I got Iowa State and Alabama and Iowa. And I really don't need Iowa. I could have gone another home team. I guess I like the home teams. You know why?
They're home.
And the crowd cheers for them a lot louder when they have the ball and stuff.
Is that what happens and stuff?
Uh-huh.
Let's take a look at the rest of the day's sports, and we'll get you out of here on the Doug and Daddy Show. UNK's Tyke Kojal named Capital One All-District, Academic All-District, now up for Academic All-American. He's a co-captain, 3.73 GPA, and four tackles this week against Missouri Western State. He'll break his own single-season UNK record, four tackles. Kickoff tomorrow's at 1:30. Hastings College is at Dort at 1. Nebraska Danger adds six players. One of those is a veteran in return man and all-purpose back Troy Evans. He had 14 touchdowns last year. We already told you that the Storm is home this weekend. State football playoffs here on ESPN today. Kearney Catholic at Columbus SCOTUS. Pregame 2:30, kickoff 3. Kearney High hosting Omaha North. Pregame 6:30, kickoff 7. On 12:30 KHAS, Aquinas is at Duncan Field to play St. Cecilia. 7 o'clock kickoff for that as well. Now, other games that are going on today in Class C1, Cozad will be hosting Chadron. Kickoff is set for 5 o'clock. And in Grand Island, it's a doubleheader at Memorial Field. Central Catholic hosts the number one seed, Ashland Greenwood. That begins at 2 o'clock. The high school volleyball districts got underway last night. Axtell, O'Neill, St. Mary's, Lawrence Nelson, Bertrand, winners. Ansley Litchfield will get in on a wild card. That officially comes out this weekend. Class C district finals are tonight. I will be at Hastings College for the Kearney Catholic Grand Island Central Catholic final. First serve is at 7:30. Be a busy day for those schools. Football and then down to watch volleyball. Also tonight, St. Cecilia and Centura, 6 o'clock at Kennesaw. 7 o'clock games, Ord and Ogallala at Lexington. Sutton and Nebraska Christian at Aurora. 7:30, Southern Valley Bridgeport will play at Paxton. And best of luck to the Class B teams tomorrow in the sub-state. Hastings is at Elkhorn South at noon. Northwest will host Omaha Mercy at 1. Aurora will host Omaha Roncalli at 4 o'clock. And that pretty much catches us up on everything, anything else for the
weekend. Well, I think you named them all. I think you just, when you said that doubleheader at Central Catholic, the times on the two games were, what time are they against?
2 and 7.
And Grand Island High plays Millard West at 7. So, yeah. Right. That'd be a nice little place to go if you're looking for a couple two football games to watch, right? Back-to-back in the same little arena.
Outstanding.
Right.
And then in between, as we said yesterday, swing over to Bandits. Grand Island, if they recovered from the Ned Rex who were playing there last night, I heard there was going to be dancing on the bar, and I believe that's confirmed.
Yeah, I got a vested interest tonight in this Kearney High.
You think?
I think a little bit. Yeah, I'll probably be there.
Big underdogs, Kearney High. They're beat up a little bit. They're taking on the best team in the state, but they've got maybe the best player as well. At least he has the most rushing yards in a single season in Nebraska history, in Calvin Strong. So if you can't go out and enjoy some outstanding athletics, if you can't make it, or if you're at a game and want to see how the rest of them are doing, PlatteRiverPreps.com. Go there and keep up to date on everything that's going on, and listen on your iPhone, listen via the internet, whatever the case may be. We do want to thank Robin Walshut of Husker Online for joining us today. Matt Buttermore, Hastings College volleyball coach. Bo Pelini's press conference, football update, state volleyball next week. It's all Monday with Jimmy Langan. Have a good one, Jim.
Hey, yeah, you too, Doug, and have fun at that volleyball game tonight at 7. That's going to be a dandy.
Should be a good one, folks. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game. Hey.